choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game, better educated about your money, so you can live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 63, because we are living in an Instagram world. Just a couple months ago, Madonna's dance club hit Material Girl celebrated the 35th anniversary of its debut. And I want you to think about the lyrics of the song for a second. I feel like Casey Kasem here all of a sudden. I'll do your dedications here just after this. No. They can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light that's right, because the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right. You can hear how Madonna in this song is asking for the rich and affluent life over romance and relationships and human connection. And this is by no means a new theme in our history. I mean, consider more recently Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge, singing a rendition of a song originating in Broadway in the 40s, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Yeah, you've ever seen an automat lately. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square, cut, or pear-shaped, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. We have a long-storied history of the tug-of-war with materialism. And perhaps now that is manifest more than ever before. The terminology used to be about keeping up with the Joneses, a new car they have in the driveway, or a boat, or an RV. Now it's keeping up with your friends on Instagram and TikTok. Oh, look at me, I went on this vacation, and here's a vomit pile of pictures. Look how special I am. Oh, I went to this amazing restaurant. How look amazing this food is. Look at this wonderful dress. Oh, I found this wonderful. Look at these new shoes. Look what came in today. Oh, I got to do this, so I got to buy that. And it piles on and on and on. And you look at all of this, social media logorrhea. There's your ACT word of the day, logorrhea. And go, I must be so poor and doing so terribly. And why in the world do these people, my friends in quotation marks, have all these things and I don't? But here's what you might not know. You don't know how much money people make, or maybe what they've built up in a previous career, or maybe they inherited some wealth, or maybe they owe a lot of money. You also don't know what's going on inside someone, what internal demons they may deal with. Maybe there's an addiction that's going on. Maybe they're suffering from some sort of mental health issue. Or they could just actually be really wealthy, and they have really cool things because of it. Thing is, you don't know where they're at. And even close friends may not necessarily disclose their entire... Turns out we don't talk, even when I have friends over, we don't talk about how much we have in investments or in our checking and savings account. It's just not a point of discussion. But the thing is, you know where you're at. You know what your goals are. You know how comfortable you are with your lifestyle and your finances and your values. And here's another thing to think about. There is nothing sexy or Instagrammable about paying off credit card debt. I mean, some people post about this stuff, but most people don't. Or about putting another contribution into your emergency fund, or making yet another 401k contribution, or whatever it is. But to say the thing is, you know internally that that's your financial health, that you're improving your financial health, and that by doing that, you likely won't be working until you're 85 years old. Which, if you go into any major big box retailer, you will likely find multiple people in their late 70s and early 80s still working. A few of them, I can think of exactly one in my my storied retail career as a high school and college kid. I can think of two that genuinely enjoyed in their 70s plus working retail. Both of them had retired from previous careers, enjoyed being around people, enjoyed the physical activity, all that stuff, but they could also pack up and leave when they wanted to. That's not today. People are working much and much, much later. And part of that's because we're living until we get, until we're significantly older. We used to model that you retired at 65 with the idea of, passing away typically by 80. But that's not the case. Life expectancies are much higher. But the thing is, in all of this, and getting back on point here, there's nothing sexy or Instagrammable about doing those financially very wise things. There is no bow on the car. There is no new dress to show off. There is no, new game or fancy resort or intricate dish that top-rated chef made for you or any of that. That's okay. It's hard to feel that that's okay. And so it's important, I think, at that point to maybe have a person or two that, maybe you feel comfortable sharing that with. Whether, that's kind of where I fit a bit as a financial advisor, is I cheerlead clients on that and recognize its success. Maybe that's you sitting down with your partner, if you have a partner. If not, maybe that is you sitting down with a best friend and say, hey, I'd like to share you about this stuff because I want to celebrate with somebody and I'm not going to post it all over the world. Look at me, I have money. But I know I need, it's healthy to celebrate successes, including financial ones. Now, if you're looking at what you have and you're going, I'm unsatisfied. Steven, even if I'm doing these things, I'm looking around going, I want what my friends have. And I want to be able to do this. How do I balance that? Well, some of that might be just doing some financial planning and seeing where that might happen. Some of it might be trading back some expenses so you gain some funds to go do other things. Part of it also might just be looking at how much you earn. The thing is, you can only cut spending to a point. And that's the thing I can't stand about most financial planners and the articles they write. Everything is focused on that front, on, you should cut this. You should cut that. You shouldn't spend as much here or there. It is ignoring the much bigger pot of resources that can potentially be out there, which is earn more. Earn more because you find a different or better job. Earn more because you invest in yourself and gain some skills that put you in a position, in a job that pays more, that there's more need for what you now know how to do. This is not a uncommon thing that I work on with clients. Because at the end of the day, we can budget, we can plan, we can do all those things, and that will get us to a point. But actually building skills and earning more, you know what the thing is, though, when people go, well, why don't people do that? Because it's hard. It's hard to do that. It's far easier for me to tell you, quit drinking Starbucks. Make your coffee at home. It's also kind of lazy in a sense, too, because yes, that's important, and yes, that's something that 95% of my households, I look at their food budget and go, yikes. We gotta work on this. No wonder you can't save anything you're eating at all. And letting some of it rot in the fridge. But the thing is, it's not just that. To sit there and say, you would never look at, if we're looking at analyzing a business and looking to improve it. Income minus expenses gives you your net overall. You would not take a look at that equation and only look at the expenses side and not look at the, how can we bring more income into the business? The same thing is true with your household. And so if you're looking around going, I'd like to be able to afford saving for my future, and I would like more things, some of that might be in the budget side of it, but I'm going to bet some of it is also on the income-producing side of it. And I am not, you know, that might mean, and I usually don't recommend the go get two or three jobs aspect unless you're paying down debt heavily. Because usually when you're paying down debt heavily, the idea is you're going to do the short burst of heavy activity, you're going to knock out all the bad things you've done, and then you're going to scale back to a more reasonable lifestyle. Because you can't sustain that lifestyle for 30 or 40 years, working 70, 80 hours a week. But I will say then is, okay, you're working your job, whatever that is, and it does certain things. Let's amp up. What do we need to do to get you promoted? What do we need to do, if not promoted, what do we need to do to get you into a field or an area where you can earn significantly more, where it's worth the investment cost, and where there will be a need for you when you land? Is there a way you can do that with your what you know existingly? Is it a matter of just earning some certifications, endorsements? But here's the catch. That all requires you to do work on you. Are you willing to do some extra classes? Are you willing to study and prepare and take certification exams and redo your resume and potentially work with a recruiter? Most won't. Most won't. Because it's hard. It's hard to do all of that. It doesn't sound hard, but sounding hard and doing it are two different things. Talk is cheap. They say, if you want to go into the Bible, faith without works is dead. I think it was in James, if I'm not mistaken. Point being, talking about plans and actually doing them are two very different things. And there are lots of excuses people come up with in this world for why they can't do something. Instead of just spending that energy going out and doing the thing. You say, well, you're being simplistic. Yeah, I'm being a little simplistic in this argument. But I think for a number of people, it is just a matter of going, you know what? I really want to earn more. I do want some of those things my friends want, have. I don't want to go into massive credit card debt to do it. And I know better. So then you have to find a path that gets you where you need. Or, here's the other thought on this. Maybe take some time to write out exactly what would make you satisfied. What would make you entirely happy, where you feel complete and whole, and you have everything you want and need. Now I'm going to speak on my personal life on this one for a second. For me, when I think about what I need in my life and everything, I want, I did not have that until relatively recently, where I wanted a good-sized house where I could have family and friends over and have space, hopefully to potentially build a family. I wanted a house where I could have a dedicated office space away from everything else, have a little more room than what I had in the second bedroom of a two-bedroom apartment when I first started this firm, but I have, just a nice space that I could come to that was quiet, where I can work undisturbed and do my best for people and do my best for myself. I want to be able to make fresh coffee and have room to do that every morning. And maybe, I don't know. It just, those are some, they seem like very basic things, and that they kind of are. And I look around, I go, I have that. I'm pretty happy about that. People wonder, you work at home. Like, how do you feel about that? You kind of go crazy? I mean, sure, I need to get out, but realistically, no. It's kind of my castle here. I'm pretty happy about it. Like, if a market's down 800 points, there's a wet bar 35 feet away from my office door. If, I need to get an extra round of coffee, I don't have to go in my car and go somewhere. I go upstairs and make a fresh pot. It takes 10 minutes. I'm pretty happy about that. And I feel safe, and what else do I need? Now, is that all Instagrammable? Yeah, maybe the coffee, I suppose, but by and large, no. My desk isn't all that exciting. But it's Melinda, and it's a safe place, obviously, for my wife. And like I said, a place for our family. That's pretty good. I do, in the wants category, I do enjoy my fireplace, too. I like sitting there having a a thumb or two or three of whiskey and watching a fire burn away. So I think you have to sit down maybe a little bit and think about what would make you really happy in this Instagram world. Is it, you know, and maybe the other part of it, you know, and the last thought I have for you on this, maybe it's time to put down Instagram, or at least a little bit. Maybe it's less time on social media, more time in real world. It's a fun world we live out here. Maybe it's more time in helping others and doing other things and interacting with what's around you, rather than what's digital. Yeah, just some food for thought. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal, episode 63, because we are living in an Instagram world. You can check this episode and all the other episodes on the Briggs Financial website, BriggsWealth.com, as well as iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. Would love any likes, shares. If you have any thoughts on what we can do to talk about in future episodes or make this better, appreciate it very much. And no, thank you for listening. Hope you have a wonderful week. Be well. Take care. And I'll get you a fresh episode here shortly. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out the firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your financial situation. Selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.